There are many.
You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. At Sunrise, we desire that the glory of God would be the glory of this city. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. Let's join this week's message.
Because we here at Sunrise have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon of all time, and it just so happens that our text this morning, Matthew 7, 24 to 27, that's where we're going to be at, is so fitting for this theme of resurrection. It is the grand finale of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' very last words in his sermon. These words, are, like I said, are found in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. They function as a crossroads, as a bit of a fork in the road, pressing us. When we come upon it, we have to go this way or that way. We cannot come here and just keep remaining neutral. And he's done this many times in chapter 7, as this sermon has wound down and come to completion. Think of chapter 7, verse 12 to 14, where Jesus puts before us two ways. The easy, wide way that leads to death, and the hard, narrow way that leads to life. We must choose. In verse 15 to 20, right after that, he puts two prophets before us, and we're forced to choose between those who teach the truth and live right and those who teach what is false and live false. We must choose. And then in verse 21 to 23, in a sense, he puts two disciples before us, those on that final day that will hear, "I never knew you." But those who embrace the Savior, who are known by the Savior. And then here in our text today, the crossroads is between two foundations. We will either build our lives on the rock, stable, sturdy foundation, or on the sand that sinks, that is unstable. We must choose. Our passage has two clear ideas in it. It's very simple and straightforward. In verse 24 and 25, Jesus presents the wise man. And then verse 26 and 27, Jesus presents the foolish man. Though these are separate points, these are different people, how Jesus talks about them follows the same pattern. They both begin with the mention of hearing Jesus' words. "These words of mine," Jesus says. So both the wise man and the fool are those in the category of hearers. They heard the teaching of Jesus. This is then followed with the mention of each of these men building a home, followed by a description of the foundation each one is built on, a description of the storm raging against the house, and finally, the result of the storm. One stood, the other fell. Ultimately, the two foundations determine everything for the longevity of these homes. So right here off the bat, just know, Jesus is not giving us a lesson in construction or a lesson in who's the better contractor here, the wise man or the foolish man. That's not in view. He's teaching us about life. He wants to teach us how life works best. So there's so much here before us. Let's dig in. See first the wise man. Verse 24 to 25. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Verse 24 begins with two things. So does verse 26 later. Two things. Two things are in view, which each of these men. Verse 24, hearing and doing. You see that everyone who hears, what? These words of mine and does them. Hearing and doing. This is a certain kind of person in view. The person who's not content to just merely be impressed by a good teacher who can turn a phrase. The person who's not just content to admire or be mesmerized or captivated by quality teaching. No, this is the person who wants to hear good teaching, but then upon hearing it, that's the start, they then live it out. It doesn't stop at the ears. It goes all the way down to the toes. They live and walk this out. So by being both a hearer and a doer, Jesus calls this person wise. But notice, he explains their wisdom. What does this wisdom look like? This is where he gives us the famous word picture, saying that the one who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, a sure and solid foundation. That's verse 24, the introduction to the wise man. But notice verse 25, even though this man is wise, and even though he's a hearer and a doer, what still comes? Storms. The great storms of life, and more, we'll get there. But this is verse 25. Rains and floods and winds rage against the house. This might seem like a crazy storm for us to hear of. I mean, we're not quite in hurricane season yet. We get this idea. We've been through this many times. Those of you who've grown up here, rarity that you are, you have known this far better than most of us do. But this is not something strange to those people in this context, that first century dry, arid, hot climate. It's very common for storms in this region and winds and rains to build up together into massive floods that fill in and around town, perhaps right through town, what used to be empty ravines, or in their context, a wadi. And this flood would destroy all in its path, especially if it spilled over the banks. These storms would have been severe tests for these homes. But this one stood. It stood the test. Why? Because it was founded on the rock, a sure, stable foundation. How critical is this then? To notice the foundation. With the right foundation, a structure or a life can endure the most severe testing. But is Jesus just speaking of storms and lasting through the storms of this life with sure foundations? I mean, yes, I think there's a place for that, but that's, I think, secondary. The primary meaning is something else. I actually think Jesus is wanting to encourage us here. He's wanting to reassure us about the final judgment. You're like, where did he get this? Let me explain. This is very common among the Old Testament prophets. Many of them. Let's just take Ezekiel for one. In Ezekiel 13, the prophet uses stormy language, rains, winds, floods, great storms. And in chapter 13, the prophet says, these things on the final day of judgment will come against the wicked, and they will not be able to stand. They will be swept away by the great storm that is the wrath of God at the end. So Jesus picks up this Old Testament prophetic verbiage and puts it right here because he wants to assure us to encourage us and point us, this is the kind of life that will endure in the final day and every day up until that final day. This is the only kind of life that will endure, the life built on the rock. So two meanings are present here. Primarily, Jesus uses a stormy imagery to point us to what will last in the day of judgment. And secondarily, it's the common meaning that we generally understand. This is the kind of life that will last through all the storms that life will bring. And we know this, right? Not one of us in this room, if we're in our right mind, would ever enroll into God's school of suffering. Like, who among us is like, sign me up! I'm game! We're like, no thanks! But this comes. Life in a fallen world feels fallen many times. And it's not just looking out there. It's looking in the mirror and being like, I'm a part of this mess and a contributor to the fallenness of this world. I'm a part of this. But moments like this come. Loss, grief, disappointment, suffering, sorrow, sickness, death, sudden changes for the worse, and more. But in both cases, whether we're talking about the final day or every other day that leads up to that, whether we're talking about final judgment, that storm, or all the other storms that happen, the remedy is the same. Build your life on the rock. That's what will last through the storms of life, and that's what will last on the final day. But what is the rock? Hearing and doing. That's the rock. Hearing the teaching of Jesus, doing the teaching of Jesus. This is the one who is built on the rock. They hear. They rejoice. They don't stop there. They do. And they walk it out day by day. This one that does this, Jesus says, is wise. This is wise. And on the final day, they will be found standing. And every day unto the final day, they will be found standing. Their soul will remain unmoved. Not because they're so strong in themselves, but the foundation holding them never gives way. So they are always secure because of the rock. This is wisdom. Let's look at the opposite side of the coin, the rest of the passage, the foolish man, verse 26 to 27. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. As verse 24 began, so does verse 26 with two things. Hearing, and then it breaks the pattern, hearing and not doing. Hearing and not doing. Doing. In view here, unlike the former man, is the person who just hears the teaching of Jesus and doesn't do anything else. This is the person who's very content to just be impressed with the good teacher who can turn a phrase. This is the person who's just content to be captivated by that good teaching and not actually embrace it into their daily life. This is speaking to the person who does nothing but hear. It goes in, and it doesn't get to the toes. It doesn't even get down to the bottom of the ears. It just goes in, and it stays there. And the very next thing that goes in pushes it out. They hear the teaching of Jesus, yes, but that's it. They don't see Jesus' teaching as a guide to life. They don't model their living on it. They don't walk it out day by day. So by being those who are only in the category of hearers, not in the category of doers, Jesus calls them fools. Fools. And what does their folly look like? This is the other part of the word picture, the metaphor Jesus gives us. This person who hears Jesus' words and doesn't do them, he's like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Weak and unstable foundation. I feel like all of Florida is called out in this passage. All of us have homes built on the sand. How do we understand this? I mean, think about this. This is an example. These are not real people. Jesus is creating a teaching moment, a parable, if you will, for us. But if this person were real, think about them. Why in the world would they choose sand over a rock? Like, who's making that choice? As if this guy really, weighing both of these things, is like, this is better. I've studied, I know, I see. Clearly, building on the sand is better to do. All you silly people over here that build on the rock, you're wrong. I'm the sand builder man. This is not what he's doing. I think what we're supposed to understand here is that this guy, he just didn't care what the foundation was. He did not care. He was negligent. He's just, guys, we got stuff to do. We got a list of things to build. Just build the stinking house. I don't care where you build it, what you build it on. Just get the thing up and move on to the next project. I don't care. The foundation doesn't matter. Build it. And so they built it. And notice the word play at the end. The rains, the floods, the winds, just like Ezekiel said long ago, they come, they rage against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why did it fall? Because it was built on the sand. Again, showing us the foundation is clearly critical. With the wrong foundation, a structure, a life cannot endure testing that's even a little bit severe. The storm was just too much for it to handle. Any house built on the sand like this would face the same fate, collapse and ruin. Remember, Jesus is not just speaking of the storms of life. Primarily, he's speaking about the final judgment day. Secondarily, he's speaking about the storms of life. And so with that in mind, I think we can understand the wise man in verse 24 to 25, the foolish man in verse 26 to 27, as encouraging and reassuring as this was, this is as sobering. Jesus is not meaning to reassure us here in verse 26 and 27. You know what he's doing here in the end of the passage with the fool? He's warning us. He's warning us. Before, he was like, this is the kind of life that will last and endure to the end and through the end. Here, he's warning us, saying this is the kind of life that can't stand at all. And you better believe in the final day, collapse and ruin are the only thing in store for the fool. We need to hear this. So many of us flatter ourselves, deceive ourselves, and we're just not aware of what will actually happen to us if we don't embrace a living faith. I mean, are we aware of this? Or do we sit back and think, I got spiritual beliefs. I like the teaching of Jesus. I got strong convictions about the teaching of Jesus. I'm conservative. And I got teachings. I got the teachings of Jesus in me. But you walk in and out those doors, and your life never changes. Your Monday looks like every other Monday that you've ever been alive. It seems like Sunday morning, it's like a whole separate category that I do this kind of Christian thing, and the whole rest of my life is over here where I kind of do what I want to do. There's never a love toward Christ, a laying hold of Christ by faith, a pursuit of Christ, a desire to be near Christ. Knowing His nearness is our greatest good. A desire to praise Christ with the people of Christ. This is all absent. You just sit back and go, good teaching. I agree. The one who does this is a fool. And on the final day, they will collapse. And every day up until that final day, when the smallest storm in life comes, they will collapse. It's just a life of collapse again and again and again and again. Do you want to be strong? It's not in you. It's the foundation under you. So just picture your own life. Like, what are you standing on? What's under you? What's upholding you? What's undergirding you? If your religion has cost you nothing in life, in the end, your religion will be made plain that it really was nothing in all of life. This is what it's like to build a life on the sand. It's pure folly. Don't miss what's blatantly obvious here, but it's like under the surface of this text and really the whole Sermon on the Mount. A year ago, when we began this, I told you that Sermon on the Mount is the most famousest of all sermons. Gandhi loved the Sermon on the Mount. And if that doesn't boggle your mind, I don't know what will, because he clearly ignored this passage. You know why? Who does Jesus present himself as being in our passage today? Anyone who hears what? These words of mine. He presents himself as the judge that every man and every woman and every boy and every girl will one day stand before. And based on what we did with his teaching, we will either be considered wise or fools. You better believe Gandhi didn't approve of that. He just said this is the most excellent morality ever taught and just denied the just judge of all the universe that's standing forth here giving this teaching. Are you doing something of the same? These words of mine, some will hear. Whether they disagree with it, whether they agree with it, hearing is where some folks will just stop, and they're fools. But some will hear, and in their hearing, their eyes will open to the beauty of Christ, and they will be stunned by Him, and everything in them will want to run toward this Christ with all the might that they can muster. It could not be more different. These two people, the fool and the wise man. You know what I'm going to ask you, right? Where are you in this? Are you wise or are you foolish? I know. I grew up every summer coming down to the Gulf Coast, to Sarasota area. I know. I've lived here for 11 years now. I know none of us likes being sandy. You go to the beach. Who in their right mind just goes straight to their car and doesn't rinse their feet off? If that's you, you're nuts. Like, no one likes that. You do that enough, you look down your floorboard, you got the beach right there. You don't even need to go to the shore. It's right there in your front seat. None of us like doing that. Sand gets in everything here. We all don't want to be sandy. If only we took that and lived this out spiritually. Perhaps you're hearing this and you're just like, maybe I'm a little sandy. Maybe I'm all sand. Is there anything solid under me? You know we're not neutral in this, right? You're either one or the other. You can't be in between this. As if there's no foundation of your life. Like, look at your social media. What do you search for? Who do you follow? That might be your foundation. Is your career or vocation part of identity to you? That might be foundation. Look at your bank account. Go online. Look at what you spend your money on, how you spend it, with whom you spend money. That might be foundation for you. We all have a foundation that we stand on in all of life. You got to look down and examine it. Is it sandy or is it sturdy? One of these will last all the way into eternity. The other one will give way tomorrow if the wind blows too strong. It is so wonderful that this text hits us on Easter Sunday. You know why? Because there's no better foundation for all of life than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Invincible joy is ours. We just have to grab it by faith. What needless pain and burden we carry because we don't come to the Lord and embrace who He actually is and could be for us. So on this Easter, hear this. In this ancient city here, one event occurred that began a movement so compelling, so enduring, so influential, so unstoppable that 2,000 years later, and 2 billion followers, this movement is still growing faster than ever today, while the empire that crucified its king now lies in ruins. This movement has shaped nations, spanned oceans, created the university, created the hospital, reached and transformed tribal peoples in the most remotest of places, and is now, every week throughout the year, spoken, read, and sung about and delved into in more languages than any other movement on the planet by far. This one event is when the Lord Jesus Christ walked out of the tomb. God the Father planned it. The prophets of old foretold it. The disciples doubted it. The soldiers at the tomb denied it. The angels proclaimed it. The emptiness of the tomb proved it. And now all those who embrace it have invincible joy in Christ forever, because their feet are planted on the rock. And that rock's not going anywhere. So neither are those who are standing on it or on Him. Do you believe this? You can begin to believe it today. Do you know that? I know it's Easter. We do special things on Easter. People, I have this on, for goodness sake. This is so hot right now, you have no idea. It's Easter. So I put all these clothes on. But it's Easter, the best day deserves the best clothes. It's the best day in history. It deserves all kinds of wonderful things we don't do. But a strange thing is that some who don't believe in this Savior, some who don't believe, you know what they do? They go to church. I did it for 20 years. And I've been where you perhaps are now, hearing those familiar resurrection songs, knowing I'm not going to go here until I start singing Christmas songs again. I did it for 20 years until a good friend pressed me to decision. Adam, you're headed for ruin and collapse. Your whole life is on sinking sand. You know there's a better foundation? Do you know that? Do you know who it is? It's Jesus. Let me tell you about Him. His teaching has changed the world. He is the Savior of sinners. His blood can make the foulest clean. And when I heard that, His blood availed for me. And it can for you too, whether you're near or far. Here's what I'd say. Think on the resurrection, honestly, thoughtfully, historically, and answer one question. Did Jesus really walk out of the tomb? This is what separates Him from everyone else. Gandhi's still dead. Buddha is still dead. Muhammad is still dead. Confucius is still dead. Stalin and Karl Marx are still dead. You know who's not dead? Jesus and all those who are tethered to Him by faith. Though we die, in Him we still live, and in Him one day we will rise to be with Him and all those with Him forever. The angels said it best. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Pray with me.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.